So good morning again. Good morning. Wonderful to see your smiling faces. Thanks for joining us on our generosity journey. And thank you so much for, we want this place. I mean, this is a continuation, but side note from the message. We want this place to be so Holy Spirit friendly. We want this place to be Holy Spirit friendly. One of the ways that this gets Holy Spirit friendly is if you are Holy Spirit friendly. Because this is I mean, there's some leadership involved and there's some, you know, tradition involved, whatever. But at the same time, we're essentially an extension of you guys. Like this, it's just a corporate gathering. Well, who are we corporately gathering? Well, you, right? There's no us without me and you, right? That's how we gather. So the more Holy Spirit friendly you guys are and I am, the more God has the freedom to flow here. And so we want to hear his voice. We want to follow his ways. I loved those analogies this morning about just catching his wind. So thanks for flowing with us. Thanks for worshiping with us. And we want to see transformed lives. We want to see transformed lives. We want to see 5 years from now, if we would take a snapshot of your life, that you would look so much more like, you're beautiful right now. Don't get me wrong. But we would like to see 5 years from now for you to be more beautiful, more in the image of Jesus, more Christ-like, more filled with power, seeing more results in your life, but not at the expense of character, seeing more humility, seeing more love and compassion and mercy and authority, seeing you kick the devil out of everywhere that he shouldn't be, seeing you destroy the works of the enemy, seeing transformation continually happen. And we know that it's not always a from here to there, straight trajectory, right? It looks sometimes like a roller coaster, right? But that's okay, because we're moving forward. Look at somebody, say, I'm moving forward. Yeah, amen. Amen. We want to see God heal bodies. We want to see God heal hearts. We want to see God, as we sang this morning, take the broken pieces and mend them back together. That's really the heartbeat of Christian Outreach Center. If you're watching online and you've never been here, that's what we want to see happen. That's our attempt. That's what we're going after, and that's what God wants to see happen. We're hungry for that. We're hungry for life change. We're not just hungry for a gathering and just have some guys to drink coffee with, right? We can get that at the local gas station. We want to do that as well here, but we want to see God glorified in our lives. Amen. And so that does kind of fit, because we've been talking about freedom and flow. That's kind of the last few weeks that we've spent with this. That generosity isn't just so much something that you do, it's something that you participate in. Because God is already generous. Yes or no? Yes. God is already generous. God is already pouring out generosity. God is flowing generously in all of his character traits and nature and gifts and blessings. And so one of the ways that we catch the wind of the Spirit is that we allow our own hearts to be pulled into generosity. We allow our own lives to get, like we said last week, the garden hose, hook up the hose. Like, there might be some water in you, right? If you got a coiled up hose. Anyone ever lifted up one of those hoses and you're sure it was empty in late fall or something and it spills out on you and now your good clothes are all wet because you're just going to throw the hose in the shop quick? Yeah, well, there's some water in there and you can kind of pretend to be generous for a little bit, but you've got to really connect. You've got to really hook up to the source. You've got to really connect to God and let God flow through you. And then we don't want kinks. We don't want stinginess. We don't want selfishness. We don't want small-mindedness. That we didn't talk about that one last week. We don't want small-mindedness. How big is God? How big things can God do? One guy gets it. Go on, let's me and you go preach over there. These guys, they don't care. He does the impossible as a daily activity for him. He makes the rules. He does, like, and so generosity, sometimes we aren't generous because we clamp down on what God can do and what I can do. We have small thinking. God loves dreamers. God loves dreamers. God loves people that dream up ways that they can bless people more than they even can handle right now. God loves you to dream God things. And anything that reeks of his character and nature, those are God things. Yep. That's where we walk into maturity. We can walk into maturity because we can just follow the leading of God. And if it's got the approval of the Bible, well, I don't know if I feel led to pray today. So? It's in the Word of God. Like, we're commanded, told, encouraged, admonished to pray. Like, you don't need a special nudge. Now, the special nudges are awesome, and we love that. But there's already a flow of that from heaven. Just step into it, right? Well, God didn't tell me. Well, it doesn't matter. He did already in His Word. So, just saying, if the things, and generosity is one of those things. It's of God's heart. It's who He is. The hard thing about these series is when you're kind of digging in and doing all this research and you're preaching. And well, then you have your daily Bible reading as well as study. And so I keep finding just generosity everywhere that I didn't see it. And it's so cool when your eyes get open to a thing of God. I don't know if you remember our last series or not. Our last series was on powerful people. And you don't want to be a victim. That's right. We talked about victims for a long time. Don't be a victim, because we want to be powerful people. So we don't want to have this victim mindset where we talked about that for a number of weeks. And so I happened to be reading my Ken Blanchard book, The Generosity Factor, and stumbled across this quote. So I'm starting off today with a quote that I just stumbled on while I was doing stuff for generosity. And it says this: a selfish person always asks, why did this happen to me? That leads to a victim mindset, and victims are never generous. They don't want to give. They simply want to get even somehow, right? Remember when we talked about victims want it to be fair, and they're going to waste all of their energy and time and power giving that away because it's not fair. And blah. So we're not going to go back into that again, but just how powerful that God just set this little, like, bought the book, and He kind of just had that in kind of a cool little transition to tie back into what we really felt God was leading us to preach on about not being victims. And here Ken Blanchard's telling me that, yeah, if you're a victim, if you got this victim mindset, oh, life happens to you. I don't have any control over it. You're not going to initiate generosity. It's not just going to become a part of you because you're just a victim and life just happens to you. You get me going on victim stuff again, but all right. So we're going to start off with our first verse today. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And it says, command those who are American, because that's really what it is. Command those who are rich in this present world. And if you're thinking that this verse is just for Bill Gates, or whatever, it's really not, right? So this is written at a time where if you had, a safe place and a dry place and you had food for more than the next day, man, you're pretty well off, let alone owning anything, actual property and stuff and things like that. There was a lot of the population at that time that weren't in that place and relied on begging and help and handouts. And so command those who have resources, command the Americans in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they'll lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. All right, let's just pick this apart just a little bit. That's a whole big verse. So don't. Let's don't. All right, so I'm commanding you guys. That's strong language. How many know that the Bible sometimes has some strong language? All right? So, and he's writing to Timothy, who's a pastor, telling him to do this. So this is Timothy's instructions to you. So through Paul, through me right now. So my charge, according to the Word of God, if I am to be obedient, how many want me to be obedient to the Word of God? Okay, if I'm to be obedient, then I need to do this. So I'm commanding you right now. Don't be arrogant. Don't be arrogant. Wealth and stuff kind of triggers this little I'm better than you kind of thing, doesn't it? It just kind of brings with it that spirit. And so Paul is just admonishing Timothy to admonish the people, command them, just stop. Your situation could change like that. Be blessed. Enjoy your blessing. But don't be arrogant. Don't lord it over other people. Don't think you're better than someone because you're just in a different position. We are all the same before God. So don't be arrogant. And this little nugget here, don't put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. And how many people have we known that just, man, we're in just an amazing place in life, and one medical condition, you know, one car accident, one, you know, it's just, and we're not living in fear, and that's not what I'm trying to promote. But I'm just saying wealth is uncertain. The Bible says it can sprout wings and fly off tomorrow, right? So enjoy it, be good stewards of it, be faithful with it, be generous with it, but don't put your hope in wealth. And so many of us, it seems that once we get some means, once my daily bread is taken care of, then I don't need to rely on God for my daily bread, do I? And that just spirals out into so many areas of our life. And it's often, as a pastor, as a friend, as just a fellow Christian, the conversations that I've had with so many people over the years, it's amazing how many people's best season with God, and they even kind of are sad about it, was kind of back in the beginning, or maybe in some season of their life. It's often when they were desperate. It's often when things weren't going well. But man, I had such a rich time in prayer, and I just, you know, sought the Lord. We can have those seasons at any time in our life. But in those times when we're desperate for Him, guess what? He shows up. And so when we put our hope in God, when we're dependent on God for this thing to work out, all right, now God is near, right? He draws near to that. So don't do that. Let's look at the do's. Do put your hope in God. I love how that's contrasted right there. Don't put your hope in wealth, but command them to put their hope in God. Put your hope in God, even if you have wealth, especially because that's who this is written to. If you have means, if you have wealth, if you aren't desperate for your next meal, which we've been reading about, Myanmar, I think Marnie was just talking about, terrorists took over the government or whoever did, and or soldiers, or I don't know, something. And now there's all these Christians writing, and they're cut off from any kind of supply, any kind of food. They don't know how they're going to eat. That's desperate, right? And so Paul is just challenging Timothy to challenge the people, not to put your hope in wealth, but put your hope in God, who's the same in any season. God is our source in any season. And the part that I didn't put it in there that's in the verse is who richly provides us things for our enjoyment. God's not a miser. He's just saying have it in the right proportion. Get it in the right place in your life. Pastor always used to talk about, I can't remember exactly the saying, but it's not, the question isn't, do you have money? But does money have you? The question isn't, do you have money? Does money have you? Does money has stuff? And I'll tell you what, about 5 cents is about four more than you need for money to have you. I'm just saying, you don't need to be filthy rich to be filthy greedy. You don't need to be filthy rich to be captivated and controlled by money. You don't need to be filthy rich to be thinking that my hope, you know, tomorrow I'm going to get paid this and that's going to set me free. It's not about the amount. And you're going to see that on the flip side as well. It's not about the amount and generosity. I mean, it is. It's included. If you want to be generous and you have $10 and you never give more than a penny to anyone ever in the whole entire year, you're probably not being generous. But yet, it's not about amount. Amount is just an after effect of heart. Amount is an after effect of heart. Do you guys remember the widow that put her mite in and Jesus pointed that out? So she put a couple pennies in, right? You guys know that. You know this stuff. Everybody else was throwing hundreds, right? Right, peeling off the Benjamins, throwing it in there, and Jesus pointed it out. He's like, she gave more than the rest did. It's not about amount; it's about heart. You know, she gave more. She gave more. It was sacrificial for her. Yep. And that meant more to God than what they were giving. Huh. Interesting. So I love how the Holy Spirit, that's why I kind of initiated this thing, talking about being spirit friendly. Kathy, that was so wonderful this morning. And I didn't even realize that we had picked the You Are Good song. I'm the one that picked it. And just like, oh, that's so cool. Talking about the goodness. If you weren't here this morning, Kathy, even our service opener, was talking about being saturated with the goodness of God and really talked about the goodness of God. And so we sang about it. We talked about it. And we see in this verse that the next do is to do good. Do good. do good. And this is meant in the sense of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Goodness. Goodness is one of the fruits of the Spirit. What is a fruit of Spirit? Something I learned about in Sunday school and put a little fruit on a flannel graph, right? No, there's also things that aren't mentioned. Mercy, compassion, faithfulness, you know, just on and on. Generosity. It's looking like God. How do I know what God, if God is invisible and I can't see him, how do I know what he looks like? How do I know if he's having influence on my life? I start looking like the character traits of God. I start looking like the fruit of the Spirit. So that's what this is really saying is do goodness. Just like the Bible would say, it doesn't say this, but do joyfulness, right? Or do kindness, do love. There's a campaign that was going on from the Bob Goff Love Does book. It's called Love Does. Love does. Love is an action. It's an expression. It's not just a warm, fuzzy campfire feeling, right? It's an action. It's a sacrificial action. Agape love is a do. It's a do word. And that's what they're saying here. Do good. Do the good fruit of the Holy Spirit. Like, let your heart be stirred. Let your spirit be filled with the goodness of God. That's really what this line is saying. Whatever fits, whatever you would say, oh man, that's the goodness of God. Like, be that. Do that. Like, align your life with that. Do good. Do good. And be rich in good deeds. So there's kind of the action step. So the one is the character trait. It's a heart. It's a spirit motivating thing. It's an internal. And then the flip side of it is the external. Be rich and be loaded. Be loaded. Be loaded. Yep. How fitting for just, that's what it's talking about. Be saturated in good deeds. Oh man, what's a good deed? We're not going to spend a ton of time here, but it's just, we read these verses and we're like, yeah, brother, amen, pastor, preach it. And you agree, and you do, and you really want to follow this. And then we walk out of here and we don't ever do a good deed. What's a good, you guys do good deeds. What's a good deed? You see a piece of paper laying in the parking lot? Pick it up. It's not rocket science. It's a good, right? Think of a Boy Scout with a cross that loves Jesus and a halo. Do what they would do, right? It's doing good things. Think of other people and finding a need and meeting it. What do they need? How can I help? What do you need? How can I help? What do you need? How can I help? What do you need? How can I help? Well, maybe they don't deserve it. Shut up. There's nothing in the verse about them deserving it. Sorry. I've said shut up twice today. Once is not even good, but that one was kind of about mean stuff. So, I'm like, it doesn't mean that. It means be saturated, be loaded with good deeds. And if you're going to be loaded, that means daily. That means all the time. We gotta find ways to be doing these all the time. So put hope in God. Do good. Do be rich in good deeds. Do be generous. Do have your heart set, your garden hose hooked up, the kinks out, and I'm squeezing the thinger today. All right, I'm going to be generous. And I find this next line is in here. It's either a clarifying line or maybe if you dig in on your own, maybe it means something in addition even. But be willing to share. Be willing to share. Not just share, but be willing to share. Remember, we talked about willing and ready, right? Willing and ready. We got to be willing and ready, ready and able. All right, we're going to read all of these one more time in context, just half of the verse, though. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age that they may take hold of. You remember this word? This is what we ended on last time. Life. Zoe life. The animating, invigorating, vibrant life of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit shows up and does God things in me, that's the kind of life that I can have from this. Wowzers. How cool is that? Last time we talked about I've come to give life and life more abundantly, right? Jesus measures life. And the other verse we looked at is Jesus said life is not found in the abundance of things. Jesus measures life, we measure stuff. But both of those use the word Zoe life. And so Jesus was saying that, I always thought it meant that your life isn't identified, like you don't get your identity, your accolades from how much stuff you got. I thought that's what Jesus was saying. He was saying, no, you don't get life from extra stuff. It's not going to fulfill you. It's not going to bring you that animating, invigorating life, eternal life of God. And so this verse says, he's saying, Timothy, let these guys know that one of the other ways, if they're looking for that life of God that we all are, let them know that if they do good and they're rich in good deeds and they're generous and they're willing to share, they're going to lay up treasure for themselves. They're going to have a firm foundation, and they're going to take a hold of life. There is life in generosity. There is life in being willing to share. There is life in all of this stuff. And you guys are building something. As you're giving, as you're sharing, as you're generous with your time, generous with your forgiveness, generous with your hope, generous with your giving credit to others, generous with honoring people, generous with compassion, you're building a firm foundation. You're building something. You are building something. You're settling that, driving those stakes in the ground and putting that foundation for your life to stand on. Generosity is building something. Okay, John the Baptist. What? How'd we get here? This was one of those that I just couldn't let go. It wasn't in my original stuff, and it's one of those that I just was in my daily Bible reading, and it just blew me away. You guys remember who John the Baptist was? Camel hair and, you know, all that kind of locusts and honey do you guys remember John had, like, if you could sum up John the Baptist's message, his entire sermon, in one word, do you know what that word would be? Repent. Just repent. He's preparing the way. So he's repent. That was his message. He lived in the wilderness. He was a different duck, right? You know, following the heart of God, though, like, I don't mean that sacrilegiously. He just, like, for the normal people of that day, like, he just looked odd. And yet, they were attracted to hear his message. They wanted to know, what is this guy saying? And they felt pulled. They felt drawn. And crowds after crowds after crowds came to see him. And he was not very gentle with his words. You guys ever, we talk about this a lot, but if you guys ever walked in the into a room, you're clueless. Right? You're just singing your song, ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da, and you walk into the room and someone's getting chewed out. You ever walk, you like, you step in and you're like, whoa. Right? Like, you aren't prepared. Like, someone should get, like, turn a red light on or something. If you're, you know, like when you're recording, like, let us know if you're going to be yelling at someone. I'm going to walk in the middle, because it's just kind of assaulting. We're going to walk into one of those moments. John the Baptist, he's just both barrels. He's just letting them have it. So this is in Luke chapter 3. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized by him. Remember, he's saying this to real people. Crowd. Who's he saying it to? Crowds. Who are the crowds? Just people from the villages. There's people. There's some Pharisees in there probably. There's tax collectors. There's people, normal people, right? Nurses, doctors, whatever. There's people. John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized him, you brood of vipers, you dirty snakes, right? He's calling them a bunch of low-life snakes. What in the world? It's like, you're walking right in the middle of, whoa, sorry, John, I didn't know you had something going on here. Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And don't even say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I'll tell you what, out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. Listen to this next one. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Is this the conference on encouragement? Spiritual uplifting? Is it what door is that? Because I'm in the wrong room here. Like, John is just going to town here, and he's just saying, you want to say that you're a follower of God? Repent. Oh, you did repent? Then show me some fruit of that. And he's just going to town. He's just, barrel one, barrel two, cannon, flamethrower. He's just letting them have it, right? And like, okay, we're just reading through the Bible here. Crowd said, if I was in the crowd, probably, I would have been like, I'm throwing a rock and then I'm going home to have a sandwich because this is dumb. I can go anywhere and I can go to work and get yelled at, you know? But the crowd was so tugged and John was so led by the Spirit that the crowd was gripped and they said, well, what are we supposed to do then? They want to know what to do. In response, we're reading this right through. So in response to that scathing challenge to these guys, hey, buddy, I got an axe with your name on it. Come on, mister. Right? Show me something or I'm going to chop you down and throw you in the fire. Right? Like he's just laying it on. And they're like, maybe they couldn't get away. I don't know. Maybe they're stuck there. They're like, gulp. Well, what are we supposed to do with that? Look at this. If you were John, which you're not, because thankfully you're not wearing camel hair, right? Like, I'm sure there was, like, look at what Jesus addressed. I mean, Jesus in, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus walking through, like, he addressed sin everywhere. You know, I'm thinking, what is John going to say here? How are they going to produce fruit in keeping with repentance? The axe is at the root of your tree, buddy. You better be quaking leaves, because you're going to get cut down and thrown in the fire. And they're like, okay, we don't want that. We didn't sign up for that. What do we do? John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. It's a little anticlimactic. Just saying. If the guy's out there with the bazooka and the cannon and the tank and laying on both barrels, I'm thinking like, you're sleeping with his wife and you're, you know, you're stealing this and you're doing this and you know, you're blaspheming, and I'm expecting some really meaty answers here. Is the Bible the inspired word of God? Yes or no? Yes. Don't take my word for it. Make sure that I'll get my slides right, because once in a while I'll get a slide wrong, not intentionally. I just copy it wrong, but read it for yourself in Luke 3 and see if this is exactly what's written or if you got your Bible here with you now. We're just reading through this. Well, what should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. Anyone who has food, you should do the same. Share with the one who has none. Huh. Let's keep going. Even tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, they asked, what should we do? These are dirty bird tax collectors. I mean, nobody likes tax collectors. Don't collect any more than you're required to. That's a greed issue. Let your heart be proper, appropriate, and generous. Well, then some soldiers came. What should we do? Don't extort money. Don't accuse people falsely, and be content with your pay. This is all in response to you brood of vipers. Who warned you about wrath? You think you're going to change? You think you've repented? I want to see some fruit in your life. And they're like, all these groups, what kind of fruit? It's all about having the right heart towards. Every one of those is, don't do this, do this. Every one of those, all three of those, don't do this, do this. Don't take more than you're supposed to. Don't extort. Be content. Live your life free. And I just found that. So I had to share that with you. Maybe it fits, maybe it doesn't. But that was phenomenal to me, that in this tirade of fire and brimstone, they all want to know what to do. And all of their answers come with a heart of generosity. heart of being in right relationship to the giver and to the flow of God. Don't try to hoard. Don't try to steal. Don't try to take it in. Pretty amazing. So let's move on a little bit. Generosity, it's been pretty, we're not going to get super, super practical, but we're going to start to get a little practical. Generosity has just been this thing that we've been talking about. It's the heart of God. It's the flow of God. It's through our lives. We're supposed to be generous. We've read all kinds of verses over the last few weeks. But generosity, it's not something that just happens. If any of you has ever been in a relationship, you know, brother, sister, husband, wife, mom, dad, you know, child, like healthy relationships, you guys know this, they don't happen just by chance, right? You have to, especially trying to keep your heart knit with your wife, husband, like you guys, like you need to go on dates, we need to set aside time to talk, go on walks together. Like there needs to be an intentionality to it. Otherwise, life just happens. You guys know that? Life just happens. Life just happens. The things of God don't just happen. He's the source behind it, but we've got to be intentional about it. So I'm going to read this Chip Ingram quote. Generosity flows out of a heart of worship. It's an interaction between you and God, something just as biblical as praying or reading your Bible. And like those disciplines, how many of you, you're like, I was just walking through the cow pasture and all of a sudden I was reading my Bible. And then I didn't even know how that happened. Doesn't, right? I was just, it doesn't just happen. You have to cultivate those. And it requires a level of intentionality, he says. All right. Practicing practical generosity. I was going to throw one more P in there, but I couldn't think of another one. But how do we make this just practical? Everyone take a breath. All right. We just got a few more minutes and we're going to wind this up. Let's just take some nuggets. Take some nuts and bolts. How do I do this? What should I be doing? Tell me then. We try not to be too far on the practical end because there's so many things that God can show you yourself, but we're gonna start you off with just some ideas. And the first one is really kind of important. And this is the one that I warned you about, right? This is the one when we start talking about generosity, everyone's like, yeah, you preachers, you're just trying to get more money. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's in the Bible. Do you guys want me to preach what's in the Bible or is it just my opinions, right? So we're going to preach the word of God here. Don't get mad. You guys are super generous. You guys are amazing. But one of the ways that we start with generosity is with our tithes and offerings. Amen. Amen. See, they get to leave. Our tithe, and you guys are so generous. And no one's getting yelled at here. We're peeling open the word of God just to see what the word of God says. And let's just read this verse. Luke 12, 18 through 21 says, then he said, this is what I'll do, talking about this parable here. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and I'll store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But then God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get all what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it will be, listen to this, with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. But is not rich towards God. If he would have ended it there, then we would think this would be an indictment against having wealth. It's not. Wealth is amoral. It's neutral. You're not any more Jesus-like if you're dead broke. You're not any more Jesus-like if you've got $1 trillion. Wealth is neutral. And so he says, but. So you can store up things for yourself, but are you rich towards God? Are you rich towards God? Is your heart generous back to him? Do we give to the Lord? Do we give to his work? Let me talk about this real quick. The blessings of first fruits. We have funny words in the church because there's funny words in the Bible. And as God set up the first community, he set up something called first fruits. And there was also the tithe, and there was different things, and there was different offerings, and there's all kinds of stuff that they brought to God. But one of my favorite is the first fruits. It's the first fruits. I love it. I love even thinking about that over a tithe because it's the same thing, but it gives me this picture of the first and the best goes to God. And that's really what a first fruit was. Whether it was your cattle, your sheep, your donkeys, your chickens and their eggs, whether it was your fruit trees, you know, first fruits, you know, your grapevines, your figs, whatever it was, your wheat, barley, your grains, whatever it was, whatever your income was, whatever you were blessed with, take the first and the best and give that to God. And so I love that. Marnie and I are just, we both were raised with parents who really modeled tithes and offerings. And we're super excited when we got married that was a non-negotiable for us. Like, why would we not? And so we just, in our budget, the reason I'm saying this now is because we think of it like a first fruit, even though, you know, the government's already taken some, you know, like we can't get to it before they do, but as quick as we can, you know, which when we budget and we do a budget, we set out 10% of it immediately to go to God. We just love that. We love the privilege of being able to do that. And thank you guys for really teaching us to do that. And we've walked in the blessing of God. There's been tough times, but God's always come through. So let me throw a couple of these verses at you. Blessings of the first fruits. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim with new wine. There's a blessing that's inherent in you giving the first and best to God. It just is. It's just how it works. Well, I know so-and-so and they tithe, or I tried it once and whatever. It's not like a formula. It's a law, though. It's a law of God's word. And so there's going to be exceptions. There's going to be times where things, you know, there's still a devil that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's still a flesh that had to have a new fishing boat before you bought your SpaghettiOs, you know? Right? Well, God, we tithe, and you did not give nothing to us. And we don't even have any food. We got 3 motorcycles and 2 boats over there. Well, but that's mine. Thank you for laughing. And that's because that's just meant to be funny. But just saying. And one more verse here. Ezekiel 44:30. The first of all of the first fruits of all kinds, and every offering of all kinds from your offerings shall belong to the priests, to the house of God. You shall also give the priests the first of your dough. Wait a minute. That a blessing may rest on your house. Raise your hand if you want to be blessed. Come on. I look at some of this stuff and I go, why would you not? Like, why not? Why would you not want to? So I'm just, this is my challenge to you guys today. And I don't even think that I'm talking to any of you. So I know you guys are generous. And I know every time we do fundraisers, you guys are always in it, whatever. It's amazing. But I'm just going to challenge you today because our series is on generosity. If you're not at the 10% level where God, that's kind of his starting point. That's where God starts. It's the start. It's the starter. It's the first fruits. And then from there, we give offerings, right? So the 10% is your first fruit. It's the blessing of God. Like, my challenge is, ask yourself why you're not. What if you're not at 10%, if you're just throwing a 20 in the plate here and there every other month or whatever, I mean, that's between you and God. But I'm just challenging you from the word of God. There is such a blessing and such a privilege to connect the garden hose. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about, you were saying about, like, okay, squeeze the thing, that means I've got to give out stuff. Yeah, but connect the garden hose. One of the ways that we connect to the flow is the first fruits. That's one of the way that we get the pump primed to flow through us. And this is not just, it's just the word of God. So my question is, like, why would I not want to? Like, what's keeping it? Like, if you had to answer yourself honestly, like, you just don't feel like you've got enough. Like, did you just not know about it until now? You just, well, I never heard anybody say that before. Well, I'm telling you, 10% should go to God. It should go to your local house of the Lord. And the blessing of God is on that. Is it because you just think people are greedy? Well, there might be greedy people. It just, the word of God is the word of God. Do you want the blessing over the rest of the 90%? That's the thing. And that's not I heard you guys saying that. And that's why I said it. And like I actually didn't put that in my notes because I don't want it to be like, because people will leverage that. And I just, you guys need to know my heart. If you know me for more than 5 minutes, you know I'm not a control guy. I'm not trying to manipulate this. Well, if I don't give, then bless God, you're just gonna, the devil's gonna come steal every other thing of yours. There's some principle about that. I'm just saying, why would you not want to be in the flow of God? And so my challenge also is this. Here's my other challenge. If you just feel like you don't have enough, I would just challenge you just to step out. Step out in faith. Because here's the thing with the first fruits. If you do it first, everything else has to fall in line. When we give some, God some at the end, it seems like I can never get in that flow of blessing that I want to see in my life. Well, give it first. It's the first fruits. Just give it first. So, next slide says, so we're going to do tithes and offerings. How can I do practical generosity? Plan to be generous. Okay, we're just about done. Plan to be generous. How can I do that? This is going to sound weird. I can budget. I can budget. If you're not budgeting to be generous, then you're missing out on opportunities. I'm just telling you that right now. If you're not budgeting, if you're not planning on being generous, you're going to find a moment when your heart is stirred and your pocketbook is not. Right? Some of us, you know, our pocketbook is stirred more than our hearts. And that's a bad place too, because God loves a cheerful giver. God wants you to be generous, it's the right heart, and have the means, right wallet. So if your wallet is not right now, find someone else and grab theirs. Just kidding. Just kidding. So I'm saying, you need to just do some mental preparation. You can't just do what you've always done, because you're always going to get what you've always got. You can't just say, honey, oh, we should give more this year. I agree. Oh, bless God. And then the year goes by, and we just never had enough. It just never had enough. I don't know why I'm Southern all of a sudden. So here, let me cut through the awkwardness. And I don't think there is, but let me tell you a story about Marnie and I. Marnie, by nature, is radically generous. Like, she was just born that way. Like, doctor slapped her behind and she's like, oh, honey, thank you. Bless you. Bless you. Right? I took a swing, you know, when I was born. So Marnie's just generous by nature. So she would always want to be getting, I'm telling you, when we first got married, boy, it was bleak. I mean, it was ramen noodle kind of bleak. Like, we were budgeted down to anything that was less than $5 went in a special envelope, and we actually ended up, when that got saved up enough, we bought stock with that. But there was never hardly, it was usually loose dollar bills. Everything was budgeted down. I mean, to pay, like, change went in a special place, loose dollar bills went in a special place. Like, it was really tight. But we were able to do ministry together, and it was super cool and whatever. And but as life went on, we were more blessed. But Marnie would always want to be giving. You know, when a special speaker would come in, or we'd hear about something, or can we give to Praise FM or whatever. And I would always find myself reacting, because this is a generosity journey for me. Look at somebody, say it's a journey, okay? No matter where you're at on the spectrum, it's a journey. We want to just be moving more towards the end of the spectrum that's more generous. And so I would find myself clamping up in my head, and my spirit would be like, man, we should be generous. And the guy, part of me that's writing the budget, would be like, you know, well, where's that coming? What's going to, right? Something's got to give. Here's what we did. We started small, and probably where we're at right now would be small to some of you guys, but it has grown immensely. So remember, first fruits were already, we made a covenant with each other. We're going to tithe. Everything we get, we tithe on. And I feel like we've been honest, and if we've missed any, I not intentionally. But it was the extra stuff. So we did the old Larry Burkett, Dave Ramsey kind of envelope system. We had an envelope, and still do to this day, called offerings. We put in our budget extra giving. It's a generosity envelope. We budget each month. We might not give anything that month. We still are giving our tithes, but we have this envelope. We are prepared to be generous. And know what? We don't fight about it anymore. Duh! what you're doing's not working, do something different. And I just feel like that was just a God thing that God put in our hearts to do. Well, plan for it, plan to be generous. And so we do, we set aside. And I tell you what, every once in a while when, you know, some bill goes way up, monthly bill or whatever, I'm looking at that offering category, I'm like, I wonder if we can take a few dollars. I'm like, and I can, because it's a willful, it's not required, right? I want to be, but I'm like, you know what? The harvest from that, oh man, you don't want to even get me talking about seed and sowers and harvest and, right? But what it does in my heart, I'm like, nah, let's keep that flow free. Boy, I went way too long. Sorry about that. But hey, man, gosh, let me just, a couple quotes. Ken Blanchard said, see, some people think of generosity as an event. They get behind some cause and they participate in an annual fund drive. When the big splash is over, it's back to business as usual. But generosity is an attitude. It has to be cultivated daily. One last quote, if I've got time. Can I just one last one? It's a short one. Last one right here by Ken Blanchard. We started with Ken. We're ending with him. A generous person quickly discovers that each new day provides new opportunities to impact the lives of others. Every day, we can find countless ways, great and small, to make someone's life better. Amen.